We're very happy to have with us a man who is helping make this possible. We have alluded to this a great deal on our show. Dr. Stephen J. Russell, educated well out of Edinburgh University and on and on, including the University of London, Royal College of Pathologists, and now he's with the Mayo Clinic. And I was reading through a little background on him. He, as a matter of fact, let me get my cell phone out because the only way I can get this. Stand by, doctor. I want to. I find it interesting. Dr. Russell's research goal is to demonstrate the value of oncolytic viral therapy as a new modality for the treatment of cancer. I interpreted that to say, and I'm taking liberties with the language, to curing cancer with viruses. And we've had a remarkable occurrence in the case of Stacy Erholtz of Pequot Lakes, Minnesota, who was not doing well until this therapy. Dr. Russell, thank you very much for joining us on KFGO. I know you're far busier than I. It's very good of you.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Jack. Happy to be here.
And my understanding is that the people in your field and scientists have known for years that viruses can fight cancers. But tell us about Stacy Erholtz and what she was experiencing. What form of cancer was hers?
Well, she had a form of blood cancer called multiple myeloma, which, you know, it's rare, but it's not that rare. There are probably 20,000 new cases of multiple myeloma in the USA each year. It's a form of cancer that is a bit like leukemia in one sense, that it gets into the bone marrow throughout the body. But it's also a bit like metastatic breast cancer in that it causes tumors in the bones in multiple different places as well. And what Stacy had was she was diagnosed with multiple myeloma 10 years ago or so, and she had a lot of treatment for it, including two stem cell transplant procedures. For each of those, she had to spend a six-week period in Rochester, Minnesota. And she had a lot of drug therapy also over that period of time. And then eventually she, 8 months out from her most recent bone marrow transplant procedure, she came to the clinic here with a lump growing on her left forehead. And it was quite large. It was about the size of a golf ball. And when we did her scans, we found that there were other tumors. There were four other tumors that we could detect on the PET scan. And when we looked at the bone marrow, there were the cancer cells there diffusely infiltrating the bone marrow. And so Stacy was really in a difficult place. You know, she was out of conventional treatment options. She'd had pretty much every therapy that we had available for myeloma. And so she decided that she would like to try the measles therapy.
Doctor, was she near death?
She certainly, without treatment, yes. Okay. She was near death.
And so once you decided to try something different, what was it?
Well, it's a virus. I think the best way to understand it is that, you know, we all know about virus infections. We've all had virus infections. You know, the common cold typically just does a little damage to the epithelium lining our nose and upper airways. Flu damages the lungs. Hepatitis damages the liver. The AIDS virus, if anyone's unlucky enough to get that, damages the immune system. And what we were looking for was a virus that could specifically damage the cancer and leave everything else unharmed. And we had discovered quite a few years earlier that measles virus, at least the strain of measles virus that has been used to vaccinate people, had such properties. And we engineered it to improve its performance in that regard. And then started developing it as a cancer therapy. And it was particularly effective against multiple myeloma in the studies that we did in the lab. So we decided to go ahead with a clinical study in which we started from a very low dose, but we gradually increased it. And eventually, Stacy decided to participate in the trial when we'd reached our absolute maximum dose level.
And what was that dosage level?
Well, you know, I don't know how happy people are with big numbers, but it was 10 to the power 11, which means a 1 with 11 zeros behind it, which is 100 billion, or 100,000 million.
And that means that you could have inoculated 20 million people.
We could have, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's
so
a very large dose.
And how much is that as far as pints of liquid or whatever?
Not much.
Okay.
It was actually, we diluted the virus into 100 mLs of normal saline, which is the fluid that we routinely give to people when they need to have intravenous fluids. And we ran it into a drip in Stacy's arm over about a period of 1 hour.
So you were going for to incorporate through the blood?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she actually, you know, one of the interesting things while she was receiving the therapy was she got the most appalling headache. And very shortly after we started giving her the treatment. And we were worried, and so was she, because we didn't know what it meant. So we stopped the infusion. She had some Benadryl. The headache settled down. We were concerned about whether we should restart the infusion again. And she said, I want you to. I want to have this treatment. And fortunately, the headache didn't come back, but she did have a reaction a couple of hours after the infusion was finished. She started shaking and her temperature went up, and that recurred for a few days. But then the lump on her forehead started shrinking, and her cancer actually resolved completely.
She didn't contact measles.
She did not contract measles, no, and that's a... It's an important question, but you know we give measles vaccine to our children, and billions of people have received the measles vaccine, and we know it's safe, and we know that it does not cause measles, and you know it's the same version of the virus, it's the vaccine strain of the virus that we're using here. And so you can give a very large dose without causing measles. And I think, you know, Stacy is now walking proof of that.
And how long has it been since she received her last treatment?
It's almost a year now. And so what did happen was that after 9 months, so she was completely free of disease until 9 months after the virus had been given, when the tumor on her forehead started to regrow. And but we were unable to find any sign of cancer anywhere else in her body. And so what we did at that time was we gave some radiation just to this one isolated site of cancer. And that worked. And so Stacy is currently free of her cancer.
And she feels okay?
And she feels great, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would suppose that you would be able to take this research into other cancers that you could apply it to.
Yes, and we certainly do intend to do that. You know, one of the advantages of focusing our effort on multiple myeloma as the initial target is that many patients with multiple myeloma have very low levels of the anti-measles antibody in their blood, even though they may have been vaccinated as children or they may have had measles as children. Their immune defenses against measles are compromised because of the multiple myeloma and because of the treatment that's given for it. So, you know, Stacy, in a way, was fortunate that she did not have any anti-measles immunity. And we do think that's important. So for other cancers that we're interested in treating, we have to devise methods of overcoming that barrier, that shield against measles infection.
What are some of the other cancers that perhaps you'll be looking at?
We're looking at ovarian. We're already looking at in clinical studies here at Mayo Clinic, because, you know, one thing I would like to say is that, you know, while I'm the person who's speaking to you right now, I'm spokesman for an enormous team of people, actually for several enormous teams of people that have all worked together to make this happen. You know, both in terms of doing the original creation of the and testing of the virus, but then all the safety testing for the Food and Drug Administration, the manufacture, the development of the different clinical trials. And we are actually testing this virus in patients with ovarian cancer, where we're giving it into the peritoneal cavity, patients with mesothelioma, where we're infusing it into the lung cavity, and also in patients with head and neck cancers.
Doctor, I know a fellow who is in the cancer research game. He is a PhD. He's a fellow who lives here. He's from China. One day I saw him. He was ebullient. He was so excited. He said, we had big breakthrough. And cancer research. I said, okay, what was it? He said, we found a cancer where a certain enzyme was not present. I said, what does that mean? He says, we don't know, but we know what question to ask now. And he could not have been more excited if he would have won the World Cup. So I would imagine you and your team must be, even though I know you're far more reserved than World Cup champs would be, you must be very pleased with this breakthrough.
Well, yeah, and I don't think I'd have been quite so excited had we discovered an enzyme. But, you know, what we have here is, you know, we've known for many years that if we give a virus intravenously to an animal that has cancer, we can make the cancer go away, even if there's a lot of cancer there in the body. We have never known until now that that could be accomplished in a living human being.
Dr. Russell, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for your work and for your team, which you have assembled at the Mayo Clinic. I can't wait until the news comes out that we can go beat cancer with something like this. It may be certainly be on my lifetime, but thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for joining us today on KFGO, sir.
Thanks very much for having me here.
153. Get your car ready for spring with the latest and greatest.